My dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world with his biblical teaching through his messages. We are thrilled we can continue to do so through these broadcasts each week. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. Thank you for your encouraging notes and letters to us. Recent online comments read, from Arizona, "Thank you for bringing the light of Christ into our home. My family and I are incredibly grateful for the way you faithfully share the gospel with the world." And Pastor Salem, even after his passing, continues to have a very meaningful and positive impact on my open-air preaching at local colleges and universities of Southern California. Now, stay tuned for Dad's message, "Whose Child Is This?" where you will experience truth from God's Word. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, God has helped us along our way, and now we're gathering together all over the world, believers all over the world, gathering around the throne of feet, by the throne of grace, worshiping the wonderful Lord Jesus. And it's our prayer that we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth, and it's our prayer also that many will open their heart to the Savior today, this very day. We're reading from Psalm 116 today. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the old Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." And Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. We thank You that You made it possible for us to come to the very throne of grace through the gift and the sacrifice of Your dear Son. And we pray that multitudes will open their heart to You that never prayed to You before, and they'll pray that You'll come into their heart and take away their sins. And we pray that everything we say and do will honor the Savior. Those things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to sing for us, "Since Jesus Passed By." And God bless you, Barb.
Like the blind man, I wandered, so lost and undone. A beggar, so helpless, without God or His Son. Then my Savior in mercy heard and answered my cry. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. All my yesterdays are buried in the deepest of the sea. That old load of guilt I carry, it's all gone, praise God, I'm free. Looking for that bright tomorrow where no tear will dim the eye. And oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, but I cannot tell you why. But oh,
Well, thank you, Barb. And that is so true that when you meet Jesus, everything will be different. Everything will change. But you have to do more than just hear about him or think about him or like singing some songs about him. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And you do that by opening your heart to Jesus and just saying, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins and I ask you to come into my heart and wash them away, take them away, and I'll turn from the sins best I can," in your own words, and then just thank Jesus, that wonderful Savior. He'll come into your heart. And I'm not saying that you get healthy, wealthy, and wise. Some people teach that, but they don't get that out of the Bible. That's something they make up. Because Jesus, he was a homeless man, wasn't he, when he was here? So we may have some troubles and trials. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, "In this world, you'll have troubles and trials," but he said, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." You need Jesus. Well, we want to thank you for the letters. We just get so many nice letters. We read every one of them. And if you have a question that's a spiritual question, well, we try to answer that for you with Scripture. And so we just love to hear from you. And we want to share some of the letters because then you'll know how other people people are thinking, what they're up against. And one lady wrote in and said, "A lot of those questions I wanted to ask you, but I was afraid to ask you." So you can hear about where people are and how we can help them out. And so the first one is from Kalamazoo, Michigan. And they write, "I'm so happy to tell you how much we have loved Heart of a Shepherd. It's going all around in my family now. I have 3 children, 29 grandchildren, 18 great-grands, I think. It's so meaningful to me after 50 years a Christian to hear you say, 'And just do the best you can.' That's what I'm doing. It's not all I want to do, but Jesus understands and accepts me. Love to all of you and peace of our Lord." And so here this lady's doing just exactly what we're praying that you all do. And that is, you get a copy of this Heart of a Shepherd and show it to your friends. And especially if you have friends, you're not sure if they know the Lord or not. And it's hard to talk to them. Maybe they're neighbors and you can't really witness to them. And so you say, "Well, I've got a new picture, a new film, and I'd like you to see it. And just could you come over and watch it? And maybe you can give them a cup of coffee or something, or maybe you can give them a film to go and watch it." Because this isn't the Heart of a Shepherd is an evangelical film, and the point of it all is to have them pray and receive Jesus. And so get it out to everyone you can. You can be a missionary. Get the word out through this film. Here's Browning, Montana. "I'm a 76-year-old Native American from Browning, Montana. I live and work on the Blackfeet Reservation. I had an alcohol and drug problem for years, but have been in recovery for 39 years. I lived on the street, begged for money to drink on. The day I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, things changed for the better. At first, things were difficult with my addiction, but I thank our Father in heaven for his mercy in saving my life and giving me back my pride. I couldn't do it without him. Now I work with other alcoholics and drug abusers in a treatment center. I've dedicated my life to helping others who may never receive a second chance of life. I praise God for your ministry and your down-to-earth messages. I like the way you explain the Bible and the scriptures. I look forward to your worship service every Sunday. My wife and I watch together." And so don't we rejoice, want to congratulate this dear brother, 39 years. And that's just great. And I know that we get so many letters from people who are having problems with some addiction on something or other. And here's a good illustration. See, he came to Jesus, and Jesus helped him. You probably can't do it by yourself. You can't break that habit. You can't get over it. But you can with Jesus. And God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." In other words, you have some addiction on something. Maybe it's making money, being crazy to get more money or something, whatever it is, and you have Jesus, ask Jesus into your heart, and then you have a power there, and you have the Holy Spirit there, and you have help that you never did had before. And St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can do it. Here's a dear brother that did it. You can do it. So take heart. And you can write to us. I'll give you the address in a little while. And we have a little booklet for you just given for people fighting addiction. We'd be glad to send that. And here is Haines City, Florida. Receive the DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. I watched it several times. Very heartwarming. And when I read that, I thought, yes, sir, that's exactly it. Our heart will speak to your heart through that film. And you find the heart of God because he loves you. And he wants you to come to him and find everlasting life. And it's the most glorious message in the world because it's the hope of the world, Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior. Let's see, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Oh, here's a letter that we get a good number of people like this. They say, your word about looking back and rehashing the past will just drive you crazy. That's just what Satan wants. That really hit home. My head has been spinning lately because I'm focusing on all my mistakes, poor decisions, and sins. Enough of that. I'm going to try to make every thought captive. Give it to Jesus Christ, and if it's not useful, I'll turn it off immediately and focus on Jesus. That helped me so much, exactly what I needed. God sure uses you. I'm praying for you and your staff, and that's exactly what it is. It's the Word of God that we're using, and that's why there's help, and that's why there's hope. There's the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit applies it to your heart, and we hear from so many people that think about when maybe they have some sickness, maybe they have an accident, and then they think, oh, God is punishing me for something I did long ago. I wished I wouldn't have done it, but I can't undo it. And then that plagues you. And you see, the devil likes to do that because he knows you can't change the past. You can't do a thing about the past. And St. Paul gives us the answer, you know. He says, forgetting those things that far behind, putting those things behind, I press toward the mark. In other words, I'm not looking backwards, I'm looking forwards, and I've got my eyes set on Jesus. And he gives me strength, and he gives me courage, and makes life worth living. You see, you'll never win the race looking backwards. You never see a good runner, he's running looking backwards. Just put the things in the past, because Jesus tells us, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's in Hebrews 8, verse 12, if you want to look it up. So if Jesus doesn't remember those sins of the past, why should you? Why should I? See? And that's just the devil's trick. So center your eyes on Jesus. Put the emphasis on Jesus and let the past go on. That's all washed away. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel, the good news of the gospel. That no matter what your sins are, he'll wash them away, take them away. And then Branson, Iowa. A friend at the nursing home wants to watch it too, Heart of a Shepherd. So I'm taking it there to share on the weekend. That's exactly what we want you to do, and we're praying that you'll do that. Just get out and get the word out every way you can. It's a film, it's an hour long, and it's in words that you can understand, and it explains very carefully and fully how to accept Jesus, and that just to make that prayer and tell Jesus you're a sinner, confess you're a sinner, and he knows it, but he wants us to confess it. And Billy Graham said, if you got some big sins that really bother you, name them. You don't need to name them to anybody or any pastor or priest. You just tell Jesus. And if you want to list some of the sins, that's fine. However you want to deal with it. But the main thing is, give them to Jesus. He'll wash them away in the blood of the Lamb. And their sins and iniquities, I remember no more. It's all forgotten, all erased. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listen to this. On July 11th, I observed my 103rd birthday and would like to share it with you. Nancy, then she in prayer and she goes, now don't be jealous, as that is not biblical. She's giving me a little sermon, see. I'm only 97, and I am jealous of her. And so she's getting me straightened out. God bless her. But she's not done yet. Listen to her. Listen to her letter. Since becoming a widow 17 years ago, I've been able to live alone in our home and continue volunteering at the local hospital. 103 years, and she's going down and volunteering at the hospital. That's exactly what God meant. Jesus said that we should serve him and give him all of our life, not 20 years or 25 years and retire. All of our life. And what did God tell Adam in the Garden of Eden? He said, from the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn your bread from the day you were born until the day you die. You don't read any retirement in the Bible. Well, the priests, they retired, but they stayed on and helped the young priests. But when you come to us and ours in this society, you know where we get retirement? We get it from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. And so here she is in the hospital, and she says, I thank you all for the help and the solace you have given me with love and admiration. Isn't that a beautiful letter? I just thank her. And, you know, there's a verse in Psalms, and God says in Psalm 92:14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Fruit in old age, you bet. And we are not going to stop until God lays us low. Now, some of you are in beds of sickness. Some of you can't get around. We understand that. But you can witness and you can pray and you can put in a good word for Jesus every time you get a chance. Do it until you pass the pearly gates. And then we'll just spend our time praising Jesus. Well, one more letter. Aurora, Illinois. Please send us another. Here's again for this film. Another Heart of a Shepherd, so we can send it to our cousins in Arizona. And, you know, I was just thinking, wouldn't it be something if you'd send a lot of these out as a Christmas gift? And you say, oh, it's pretty early to talk about Christmas. Well, downtown, they got us getting stuff out for Christmas. And so you just keep that in mind. And this comes in a box. It's a beautiful box. It's got a picture of a shepherd on it, a shepherd boy and the sheep, and it's just perfect. And we send these out on a free will offering basis. And you can send whatever you can send, and we'll be glad to send it to you. So I'll tell you where to send it to. You send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. We hope that you send a gift, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you can maybe send a little gift, whatever you've got. Just ask the Lord. As you said, dear Jesus, now should I support this program, this ministry? Should I support that? Because there are other good ministries that are true to the Word of God. No question about it. We got some that aren't so good, but there are some good, strong ones. And you need to support these. You need to support your church. And so just ask Jesus what he wants you to do. He'll tell you, and then you just do it. You send it to us. And this wonderful ministry, we'll put you on our mailing list, and you'll get our little Bible study. And this month, our Bible study is on Almost a Christian. So I know you like it. I'll tell you who it is. You think it's your neighbor. Well, I'll tell you what his name was. His name was Cornelius. Yeah, I got a neighbor named Cornelius, and he lived 2,000 years ago. So, well, don't get after your neighbors. Pastor says that you're almost a Christian, but not quite a Christian. Just don't do that, see. But we see how close people come, but they never get in. Now, Jesus says, almost, Felix said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And so Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far, but you have to make that step. And so that's our little Bible study. And then also remember this when you send your gift, that we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every penny we get. And you can just support, you know, you pray about it and give as God leads. And then we'll use it to the support of the ministry. We're in our 40th year. God's always been faithful. We're not underwritten by any organization, any corporation or denomination. It's just God's people. So I know you'll do the right thing. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you send it to us. And I'm going to give it one more time because for our shortwave people, they don't have a screen. It's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those who support this work. We thank you for those over the years, many of them now in glory, many of them in your presence, but they helped us when they were here. Now you're raising up new people all the time, and for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from the Gospel of Mark today. And if you have your Bibles, I know some of you do. Some of you get all dressed up, just like you're going to church, and you're right there, your neighbors. Some of you have neighbors come in. And boy, I'd like to just join you, and just that'd just be great. And I just wouldn't have to do anything but just sit there and I almost said doze, but you can't, not supposed to doze during that service, as you know. But Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And the other gospel writers include this in them, one of the passages. They said they brought the infants and the little children. And so we're going to pray especially for them today. And then every week we pray for the persecuted church. And today this week we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. So we'll have our prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story where you take the little children and you bless them, you put your hands on them, and you said that this is your kingdom. They're all a part of your kingdom. They're all going to go to heaven, every one. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring that same message to the children today. And we can preach in such a way and teach in such a way that the children can understand and they can come to Jesus. I was 10 years old, Lord, and understood enough to pray to you, and you opened and came into my heart. And we just pray that multitudes will come to you today. And dear Lord, we will pray that we'll think more about the children and the babies and pray for them and support them and single mothers who have a hard time of it and give them a helping hand. And Lord, then we think about our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, and we know that some of them have laid down their lives. They could have lived. They could have renounced Jesus. They didn't have to die. They could have said, yes, I renounce him. I don't believe that he's the Son of God at all. But no, they bow their heads. In that one picture, we see these three young men bowing their heads. They all have hoods on their heads and saying in Arabic, well, Jesus Christ is Lord, and they gave up their lives. That's happening right now while we're preaching, Lord, and while we're having this service. Homes are being broken up. Churches are being burned. All your people are suffering, and you know, just like the children of Israel in Egypt, you said you knew all about their sufferings, and you were suffering with them, so you suffer with these people, and help them to know that we are better Christians because of them, and we take heart, and we are challenged also to stand up and sound off for Jesus. So bless them, everyone, dear Lord, and someday we'll see them in heaven. They'll be wearing a martyr's crown. Won't that be something? So now bless us in our service today, Lord. Just speak to hearts. We just give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing, God Will Take Care of You. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
From early morn to the setting sun, God will take care. Every day till our life is done, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care.
Thank you, Melissa. Been with us, I think, ever since we started. And God bless her. She's just always there to sing. Oh, we have so many wonderful people. And all our volunteers, I think we pay one. We don't pay him very much, but we pay him a little something, but help him along. But it's all volunteer. They do that because they love you. They want the gospel to get out to all the world. And that's all we do, is preach the wonderful word of God. Now, today I'm going to be talking about abortion. And before I can take a second breath, let me say this. Don't turn the channel off. Because at the end of the service, there's wonderful news for you, news of hope and joy and blessing. So don't shut it off. Listen, go through it. And if you know of some friend of yours that's had an abortion, maybe she's having a hard time of it, you call her. And you tell her to tune us in and to listen, because she's going to hear some very good news, and it comes from the very heart of God. There's hope. There's help. So stay with us. You have time in closing then, before we get to the service, the end of the service, you have time to give these people a call. And you young people, you stay tuned, because you might save yourself from a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow. So let's look at the matter of abortion. One of the saddest things on the face of the earth is the scourge of abortion. The internationally known Guttmacher Institute estimates in the United States, since it has been legalized by the Supreme Court 45 years ago, at least 60 million babies have been aborted. And Guttmacher also says worldwide figure jumps to 1.72 billion when they take it worldwide. Can you imagine it? And so the big question about abortion is, when does it take place? And when does the problem take place? Is it just harmless tissue, destruction of harmless tissue when you have an abortion? Or is it downright murder? In other words, if it does not begin until birth, and that's what the Supreme Court tells us, now you're not a person until you have birth, then all of these fetuses, it won't make a bit of difference. But if you come and figure that it comes from the time of conception, then you're committing downright, outright murder. And so the big question is, when does life begin? At conception or at birth? Well, let's see. Let's first of all see what man has to say. We couldn't get any higher than the Supreme Court, could we? So we go to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and they rendered an absolutely unbelievable decision on January 22nd, 1973. The highest court in our land, by a vote of 7-2, voted. They ruled all unborn children as non-persons under the law. They're not a person. This meant that human life is a developing child does not begin until birth. And so when they open the doors and when the child is born and he sees daylight, he becomes a person, but not until. And so with the unborn child, since it is not a person, according to the Supreme Court, they cannot have the protection of the Fifth Amendment. Citizens cannot be deprived of life without due process of law. So they don't have any help there because they're not a person. It also deprives them of the 14th Amendment, guaranteeing equal protection under the law because they are not a person. Until they're born. Therefore, the highest court in Christian America cries and says, you can stamp out the life of that living child within the womb and be legal and lawful. It's perfectly legitimate. Can you believe it? The highest court in the whole world, filled with worldly knowledge, but when they come to biblical knowledge, they're as dumber than a dodo bird. So man says that child in the womb is only tissue until born and sees the light of day. But then let's see, what does God say? And I guess since God introduced and since God is the source of all life, I would think maybe he would know when it began, wouldn't you? It is recorded in the Bible, Genesis 2, verse 7, exactly when life begins. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there you have it. The very time of the creation of man is the minute, the first thing he gets the breath of God, and he becomes a living soul. There can be no question about it. So God sends forth life through the union of a man and a woman. Life begins the very moment of conception. Then God gives us illustrations in the Bible. One of them is, for instance, is the confession of King David in Psalm 51. This chapter was written by King David after his sin of adultery and with Bathsheba. It records his repentance and sorrow for his sin. In David's confession, he referred to the original sin that was within him. He says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother conceived me." And he's not putting any slur upon his mother. He's just simply telling him that as a human being, he is under the sin of Adam. In other words, from the time of his conception, he carried the image of God, and at the same time, he carried the sin of Adam. David was a person at his very conception. Can be no question about it. So it is follows that human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Genesis 9, verse 6. Human beings bear the image of God, which is the very essence of humanness. And David said he was a person at the moment he was conceived. As a person, he had a soul and he had a spirit. As a person, he was under the sin of Adam. David did not wait until the first trimester before he became a person and a sinner. David was a sinner from the moment of his conception, which simply means unborn babies are made in the image of God, and therefore they are fully human in God's sight. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 tell us, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." Notice David says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." He didn't say, "You knit a body for me to occupy later." He said, "You knitted me in my mother's womb." But we have up-to-date science about the matter, too. There's a Dr. Marjorie A. England. She has a book entitled Life Before Birth, and it's in a second edition. It's a comprehensive textbook, and it deals with the development of the embryo for embryologists and medical students, and it plainly teaches that life begins at conception. Dr. England explains, at the moment the nuclei of the father's sperm and the mother's egg unite, a new and unrepeatable human being comes into the world, complete with his own unique DNA, and also his sex is determined from beginning. And then she continues, this is what she says. This fertilized egg is the newly formed human being, and cell division is proof of life, because without life, the embryo would not be dividing and changing. And it starts the minute of conception. It starts dividing and moving. That's life. And England goes on to say, if the embryo or fetus stops growing and changing, that means it would be dead. Man says life begins at birth. God tells us life begins at conception. And let me say, too, it is a scientific fact. And true science always agrees with the Bible. You say, well, what about evolution? It doesn't agree with the Bible. Of course it doesn't agree with the Bible. It isn't a scientific fact. It's a theory. It's a hoax. It's a lie. Evolution is not a scientific fact in any sense of the word, and there are many great scientists will attest to that fact. And so it can be no question, but at time of conception, that is a person. A person comes into being. So we ask the question, well, why is life so sacred anyway? Why do we make such a big ado of this thing called life? Well, we hunt the ducks and the deer and the wild geese, and we shoot them. And they aren't fit for consumption as far as I'm concerned. But we shoot them and we call it a sport. So why is human life any different than animal life? We were made by God, but so were the animals made by God. And yet there is a difference, a profound difference. It's given to us in Genesis 1, 26, 27. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So at the very time of his creation, he becomes a living soul. No question about it. The New International Version of the Bible says, and the man became a living being. So there you find the origination of life. It came from the hand and the mouth of Almighty God. God formed man from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into that form, and the form took life, for God breathed that life into him, and man became a living soul or being. The word soul or being in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word nephesh. And that word was used by the Hebrews to speak of the entire person, body, soul, and spirit. So when God created man, when God breathed into man, God made him not just something that would breathe, but God gave him an eternal spirit and a soul that would never die. And that spirit and soul will go on forever and ever, and it will never stop being, and it will end up in heaven or in hell. And you decide which you're going to take. God doesn't decide that for you. We have some of this talk about election stuff, which is a bunch of foolishness. You decide. You take Jesus Christ and you go to heaven. You reject Jesus Christ and you go to hell. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. So there's a heaven and a hell, and you're making the choice. So then we have to come to the point. We see that it's sacred. Then who controls life? Who takes life? We know who gives life. Who God filled the world with children, and he made a created life, and he filled the world with children. And mind you, not kids, but children. The baby goats are called kids. Children are from God, the children of God. And this is what we're told in Luke 18. And they brought unto him little infants, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now what happened to Adam's sinful nature? God, Jesus paid for Adam's sins on the cross, and he paid for our sins too, but the sins of Adam's sins are all paid, and the little babies and the little infants and the little children, that's only one thing about abortion is that they go to be with God. God watches over them, and Jesus puts his hand on them. He didn't baptize them. Don't get carried away now, brother and sister. He just blessed them. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, we're told that in John's gospel, it says Jesus didn't baptize anybody, so he didn't baptize the little babies. They all belong to God. They're all the children of God. Jesus loves the infants and the little children. He died for them. They're a part of kingdom. And wow. He says, though you offend those little ones, you're better for you than you had a millstone hung around your neck. And if you've seen a millstone in the Middle East, it weighs about a half a ton. And it's so heavy that they grind the wheat and they crush the olives with it. And you tie that around your neck and try swimming a little bit. God says, I love those children, they're mine. Now let me pose a question for you pro-choice people. Who has the right to take a life? Well, I would think that the one who gave it, or would it be the one who received it had the right? The one who gave it is the only one that has the right. God gave that life. God sustains that life. God alone has the right to take it back, with one exception. and that is that God has ordained government. That's just like the church and the home. Government is ordained of God to keep order and to keep the rules and regulations, and they are authorized to take life in case of war or in case of capital punishment. And in the Old Testament, it says that whoever takes blood, sheds blood, pays with their own blood. That's never been changed. And the government is to carry that out. But other than that, only God has the right to take that life. Listen to me, friends. That baby in the womb belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the doctor. And it doesn't belong to the father. And it doesn't belong to the mother. It belongs to God. And that mother doesn't have any more right to take that life than I have. That is God's child, God's little baby. God is saying to that mother, I'm going to give you this on loan. And I want you to raise this little child for me. It's just like when they went to Pharaoh's daughter and she's holding the little baby Moses in the little crib. And God says, will you take this child and keep him for me, and I'll pay your wages. That's what God was telling Jochebed. Just like Jochebed, that's what God is telling every mother. This little child is on loan. I'm giving you to take it. I'm giving you the welfare of this baby into your hands. And that child belongs to God. And she has, that mother has no right to take that little baby's life. That belongs to God. It's God's child. And so, what can we do about this thing of abortion? It's sweeping across the land and it'd be found in so many places. And it just makes you sick. And I'm going to tell you, friends, God is going to judge these nations that are doing this abortion business. It's going to come sooner or later. It's going to come because God, that we're flaunting God. And we're saying we're bigger than God because he gives life and we take life. And we'll show you, God, what you can do. So what can we do? Well, we ought to pray. And pray not just for the United States of America, but pray for the nations of the world. All the nations of the world. That somehow they'll come to their senses and turn to God. Pray all worldwide that people will turn to God and abandon abortion and turn from abortion and serve God and work with him, following him. And promote and vote for pro-life. Listen to me, friend, if you vote for pro-choice, you are guilty of those unborn children, the blood of those unborn children. And you say, oh no, I don't vote. Well, now let me tell you something. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. Matthew 12, verse 30. And so God is saying, if you're not out standing for me, you're on the other team. People like to be neutral. They say, I'm neutral. And they say about going to heaven, about Jesus, accepting Jesus, I'm neutral. Jesus says you can't be neutral. There is no neutral ground. It's black or it's white or it's in or it's out. It's heaven or it's hell. That's all. And when we go to vote, you just keep that in mind because you just keep that in mind because you're going to be counted as part of the one who had a part in the death of all of these aborted babies. And another thing we should do, we ought to pray and help those who have unwanted pregnancies. It does happen. And we ought to help them. We ought to pray for them and stand with them and not condemn them. And we ought to read. And we have some material. We have a little book that is just beautiful. It's called Watch Me Grow. And it shows the first 9 months of that little baby. And it starts out with conception. And at a conception. And it has DNA. And it has life. And it has sex. As that sex, the sex is pointed out, pictured. And at 1 month, in that very first day, during that first month. In the second month, that little baby can move its arms and its legs. And some people say, you can watch it. It kind of little even dances a little bit, but it's moving. In the third month, a baby is sucking its thumb. They have pictures of that. In its seventh month, the baby can see and hear and taste and touch and cough and yawn and hiccup. And it's all in this folder called Watch Me Grow. And if you'd like a copy of this, we'll send it free and postpaid. Now, if you're on our mailing list, don't write in because you're going to get it through the mail. But if you're not on our mailing list and you want this folder and you want to study it and you want to read it and you want to pray and you want to take it into your heart, then you just get your pencil and paper, and I'm going to give the address in just a minute. We'll send it free and postpaid as long as the supply lasts. It's absolutely wonderful. And I've said so many times, if you read that pamphlet, that folder, you'll never have an abortion. But what we want to close on is a glorious message to those who have had an abortion. And I wanted to tell everybody this. Two things to remember. The first thing to remember is we are all sinners, abortion or not. These men aren't having much of a problem with abortion, are they? They're just as big a sinner, maybe a bigger sinner than some of the women. I don't know. God is the judge. But we are all sinners, no matter whether you had an abortion or not. All are sinners. And the second thing to remember is that God loves every last one of you. He loves you. His heart goes out to you. And there are no exceptions. God loves every one of us, every one of you, no matter what that sin may be. St. Paul put Christians to death. He broke up homes and he took husbands out of the homes. And St. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the worst sinner that ever lived. And God saved me. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My grace is sufficient for you. And I don't care what your sin, he'll forgive you. And this is what you have to do. You have to go to Jesus and just pray to him. Pray like I did when I was 10 years old, 87 years ago. And you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. And I ask you to please come into my heart and wash my sins away. And I'll turn from my sin the best I can. You're never going to be perfect, but you try to be perfect, but you're not ever going to make it till you pass the pearly gates. And I'll serve you the best I can, dear Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. And you have eternal life. And if you made that prayer, I'm going to tell you something. God will forgive your sins. You will be born again. You'll become a child of God. You'll have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll have the Holy Spirit coming in to dwell with you and comfort and help you. You'll have the God of love loving you and caring for you as though you had never sinned. God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I separated your sins from you. God can't even see them. You can't see from the east to the west. And so if you come to Jesus, he says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And they'll be all gone, forever gone. You pray, and then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, and we'll send you some literature. Christian Worship Hour, and we want to hear about it and hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then you tell us if you want this Watch Me Grow. We'll be glad to send it to you as long as we have a supply. We've got a good supply, I think. And another thing, if you want to have the new song and you like to have this little Bible study, you like to read about Cornelius, who's almost a Christian, but did he get saved? And I'm going to tell you, yeah, he did. So it had a happy ending, but some of these people, they come awful close and never come in. And I don't know where you're at. But you can know, you just say, I'd like to have this little booklet you have, and I'd like to have the new song. And then also remember that we have to have your help. We have to have your gifts. And so you send along a gift. And wherever you are in the world, you can get on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send us a gift on the internet, and we'll get the money in cash. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for the multitudes of people that are opening their hearts right now. Thank you for all of those dear women who are struggling and hurting for so long, and now they're set free. It's gone and never to be faced. And they will see their babies in heaven, Lord, because that's where those little children are. And now they are going to heaven and they'll see those little children. And won't that be something? Oh, what a glorious thing the gospel is. It's all because of Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful, lovely Jesus. And we love him so much and he loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now the rest of you, you write to us. Help us out here. Let us know if you accepted the Lord. If you got a question, write and let us know about that. If you want any of this, want this little booklet. And then another thing, when you're done reading that little booklet, Watch Me Grow, give it to somebody else. Pass it on so that how many babies you can possibly, how many babies you could save if you just would just pass it on and help somebody else, save them from becoming, having the sorrow of an abortion. And so then just remember, God loves you. Gave his son on the cross because he loved you, and Jesus loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and God knows I love you. I just wish I could make it in a plainer, better way, but I'm doing my very best. But you'll get the message, because I know the Holy Spirit will apply it. And you do that, you're a child of God, we'll see you in heaven.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.